podcast is part of the Podcast You're Seeing Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourseeing.com.
Local media has an agenda that they're gonna serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star.
Anybody else have any interesting stories they don't want to tell?
This is Doug from After the Fall.
Hey, this is John Lane from the thriving tropics of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show. Featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
Hey, it's Bill, and you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer right here on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, 107.1 FM, St. Louis, Missouri, AltRockRadio.ca in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, on the beaches of San Diego, California, on Rudaroo Radio, across the pond, at xrpradio.co.uk. That's Birmingham, you know, where Ozzy's from. buildascene.com, right here in the thriving metropolis of Leechburg, Pennsylvania. And I'm sure I forgot someone because I always tend to do that. This is episode number 573 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. And with me tonight is Chelsea Rittenour. What's up, Chelsea?
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty good, like kind of tired, but you know, I'm here. I'm awake. I'm alive.
from our pre-show conversation, I get it.
Yes. Twins.
Um, Oh, something I didn't mention. The gentleman behind me playing the bass and screaming there.
Yes.
I usually mention, I changed backgrounds. That is Chris Owak from the band Doppler Effect.
Well, hello, sir.
They are a southern rock band from kind of this area. They're like Apollo, Pittsburgh suburbs. But anyway, so let's start off with the announcement you recently made that you are going to be fronting a rock band.
Yeah.
What
finally.
I believe the single that you're working on and the name of the band are one and the same, correct?
Correct. Yes. Kind of happened by accident, but yes.
It is The Fall of Me.
Yes.
And I'm going to ask that cliche question, which is, where did that band name come from?
So Paul, who is our lead guitarist, him and I had wanted to work together for a while. And honestly, I cannot remember why we decided to meet up earlier this year. I think I had a gig or something going on and I needed a guitarist. And we were rehearsing, and after rehearsing, he started showing me some like melodies and some riffs that he had. And we just started writing this song. Usually what I do is I just start scatting over whatever melody line I hear and mess around with the vocals. And that's what I did. And then I sat down and I started coming up with lyrics, and the song ended up being called The Fall of Me. And we didn't know if we were going to do anything else, if it was just going to be that one song, if we were going to continue with it. And we ended up just continuing organically. And we started kicking around a name. And he was like, hey, I mean, the first song that we wrote is called The Fall of Me and sounds kind of cool. So what do you think? And it just stuck. And we stayed with it. So, yeah.
Now, is it just you and Paul, or are there other members as well?
So it's myself, Paul on the guitar, Donnie on bass, and then we have someone playing drums. He's like, how would I describe this? He's not really a permanent member. He's like semi-permanent. He's in another group called Haven State. I don't know if you've ever talked to them.
I have.
Yeah, so it's Luke Martucci. We just had a conversation with him not too long ago. So he's going to be doing all of the drums whenever we record our EP. And he was basically like, yeah, I'll be like your man for hire. And, you know, whenever you have live gigs, you know, I can be there as long as it doesn't interfere with, you know, anything that Haven State has going on, which is his main project. So I guess we'll call him like a semi-permanent member. I don't know.
Haven State was one of the bands that I found out about from DI Records.
Okay.
That's Dakota, and I'm not even going to attempt to say his last name, but Dakota runs DI Records, and he sends a lot of bands my way, and that was one of many.
Yeah. I think they just made an announcement that they're releasing some new stuff. So, yeah, whenever we came across him, we were super excited that he was willing to jump on board and help us out, because we were having a hell of a time finding a drummer.
I am. Chip from Chip and the Charge Ups. I just watched a video that he did on his Facebook about them creating drum tracks, professional drum tracks for your songs, because it's cheaper to do it that way than to hire someone to record for you.
Yeah.
So if anybody's looking for that option, contact Chip.
I was supposed to actually meet them, because they were supposed to be on Music Talks last year, and then COVID and it happened and everything was an absolute mess. And then we tried to get in touch to reschedule him for this year. And then unfortunately Music Talks is now canceled, which that's a whole other conversation, but,
well, we were going to bring that up. So
we'll get there. But yeah, I was supposed to meet Chip and all those guys and I never got to. So hopefully I will get to meet them in the near future.
I've chatted with them a few times at Island Community Park for Rock for Life. Melina tried to convince me to dye my goatee pink.
Ooh.
That didn't happen.
Why not? Go for it. You gotta live.
Well, see, it was August, and I teach at a Catholic school.
Oh, okay.
And right. Hair color. All right, all right. Hair color has to be natural. So that would have meant I had to shave my goatee off to start school year. Where did music start for you? Like, can you pin down a point where you're like, that's what I'm going to do?
Well, I've always done it. So I don't know if you know any of this about me. So I used to be an opera singer, like legitimately. All of my degrees are in music. I have a master's in vocal performance. I have a bachelor's, a BFA from Carnegie Mellon, vocal performance, and then a master's from Manus, also vocal performance. So like, I've always done it. I started training classically whenever I was 12, or I had just turned 13, one of the two. And prior to that, I just always sang, like you couldn't get me to shut up. And so I think it was just inevitable, you know, like that's what I was going to do. It's it was always my thing from a very young age. And then I was crazy enough to decide to major in it.
Do you play any instruments or has it always been about vocals for you?
I mean, I dabble. I obviously can read music very proficiently. If I have to play something on the piano, I can. Whenever I was younger, I took guitar lessons. If I was forced to pick up the guitar again, I could probably do, you know, your basic chords. But honestly, my main focus was always vocals. And I dived in real deep with all of that. So yeah, that's my specialty. And as you know, I teach. I'm a voice teacher too. So
that was going to be my next question.
Yeah.
So if someone wanted to take lessons with you, how would it go about that?
So in January, I started working with a company called Practice Makes Perfect Music Studio. So if you are interested in taking voice lessons or you just want to learn more about me and what I do and how I teach, you can either hop onto their Facebook page, their Instagram, or I believe our website is now up as well. And you can check everything out. We have voice teachers. We have all kinds of other instruments, dance teachers. We're really growing it. Well, at least Aaron is. Aaron Gray, he's the one that started the company. He's fantastic. But you can request to study voice with me, and they'll get you in touch with me, and we'll go from there.
And where is the studio located?
So that's the cool thing. I teach out of my home or I teach via Zoom. So our teachers are everywhere. We're all over the place. So, you know, someone can come to me directly here in Connellsville, or I had a student for a while that lived in California and we did lessons over Zoom. So yeah, we can do the online thing or in person at my home studio.
So I also noticed that you have been, I don't want to word this, been in New York. I want to say that I saw California in there somewhere. Was that all in the pursuit of following the music or?
Yeah.
If it isn't, you can tell me, you can say that.
No, it was all for work. It was all for gigs. It was all for vocals, for music. I worked in Germany for a while as well. Some of it was strictly for the opera stuff, like before I crossed over into contemporary music. So like whenever I was working in St. Louis, I was with Opera Theater St. Louis, and it was all classical music and, you know, opera. Whenever I was in Germany, that was all opera. California was whenever I had transitioned. So yeah, I've been a few places and sang some cool spots.
I assume that kind of, first of all, being in different genres, you can take parts from one and move it over to the other, but yeah. Also living in all those different places probably has affected your background musically as well.
Yes and no. I mean, I've always kept my roots and had a very strong sense of what I liked and who I was, which I think I have to attribute all of that to my mom, because whenever, you know, I was a young kid growing up, she played tons of rock music. And so I was always a rocker chick at heart. I just kind of got thrown into the opera thing because I had a really high, pretty voice and people didn't know what to do with me. And so opera was the best fits. But if I'm being completely honest, like, I always wanted to sing contemporary music. I always wanted to sing rock music.
I chuckled when you said that. My parents listen to country. And thankfully, my mom's brothers listen to rock.
There we go. Because
that's where that came from.
My mom was all over the board. She was like, she's very eclectic with her music tastes, and she was very, very good at introducing myself and my brother to tons of different genres. I mean, I think the woman knows every song imaginable. You know, what, isn't there a TV show like Name That Tune or something like that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, she'd probably win it.
So now I'm gonna give you a PA Rock Show question now.
Oh God.
If you were sitting on a bench, we're gonna do the Forrest Gump question. If you're sitting on a bench and you're there for like an hour and you're sitting next to your music idol, who's going to be sitting there? And you're allowed to ask them one question. So you need to ask them a question that will keep them talking clearly, but that you can learn from. Who would you sit by, hope to sit by, and what would you ask them?
This can be any artist, right?
Anybody.
All right, I wouldn't say she's like my all-time favorite singer, but this is a singer that, like, you know, as I've been diving into more rock vocals, I've come across this chick named Lauren Babic. She has a killer rock voice, and she does all of those really like low, like chesty growls, which is something that I've been trying to figure out how to do, but without destroying my vocal cords. I mean, I know how to add some distortion without hurting myself, and I do, and you'll hear that in our EP when it comes out later this year. But I'm talking like the true like metal growls. That's something that I'm still messing around with, and she does it. So I would want to ask her how the hell she does it. And show me and teach me, and I'll figure it out in probably a half hour, but just like tell me. Yeah.
Here, we'll stick with movie themes.
Yeah. Okay.
You find a DeLorean, and you're going to head back in time without breaking the space-time continuum, because we don't want to get yelled at.
Sure.
What band would you go follow around to learn from, or artist? So, you know, you can spend a year back in time and learn from, pick their brain, just party with them, whatever. Who would you want to hang out with?
Prince.
That was a lot faster than I expected. Okay, why Prince? Why Prince?
Because he's super iconic. He I feel like he crossed over into a lot of different genres, but he still stayed in the vein of who he was, whatever that was. It was always him. He seems like a hell of a good time, and he put on a show. I mean, that man was a performer. And I think there's a lot, you know, to be learned from that. It's one thing to be a good singer, but I think it's another thing to be a true performer and actually entertain people. And that's what he was.
Sticking with movies, you get to pick any musician in the history of the world to portray in a documentary. Who would you want to portray?
What would I want to portray? Well, I get compared to her all the time, which is kind of annoying to me because, I mean, I can sound like her, but I think it's just because we come from the same type of training. So it would be easy. Probably Amy Lee, just because everybody compares me to her. Let's just roll with it.
I saw somebody put that on a comment of you singing a cappella.
I really don't. Sound like, maybe I do, whatever. And you know what? They're super famous. And if people want to compare me to Evanescence, then fine. But I'm not trying to sound like her, and I'm not trying to write like them. it just is what it is. So I don't know.
If they were going to put you in a cartoon series as a cartoon, what character would play you?
Like a cartoon character that's out now?
Yes.
Ooh. Oh my God. I don't know. I don't know. You know what just popped into my mind, and I have no idea why. Probably because I'm a 90s kid. I'm like, right now my mind is going to like the Powerpuff Girls. I don't know. I'm like a combo of wait, which one was the green one? Buttercup. I'm like a combo of Buttercup and Bubbles. Yeah.
I'm not all that familiar with them, so we'll go with it.
My childhood.
I was a decade before you. Yeah. Little more than a decade, but we'll go with a decade.
No, I don't think I'm sexy enough to pull it off, but like maybe like a kind of dolled down Jessica Rabbit, like without the boobs. I don't know. Maybe.
The Fall of Me goes on an international tour.
Okay.
And I tag along.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in charge of the music that's being played while we're traveling between shows.
Okay.
What artists should I make sure I have on hand?
Honestly, anything from the 90s grunge era, I'm good with. That's like my go-to. Give me a bunch of like Alice in Chains. Yeah, I'd be cool with that because I love their harmonies and I learned how to sing a lot of harmonies by listening to them. So, yes.
So off there, I mentioned Staley's Comet to you. You need to check them out.
I will.
Yep. They're an Alice in Chains tribute band that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have heard of them. Somebody mentioned them to me. It was right before COVID hit. Maybe they were like playing somewhere and they wanted me, and I was pregnant and I couldn't go, but yeah, I've definitely heard of them. I will check them out more.
Yeah. He's in another, tribute band for them in Florida. I can't remember their name, but like he travels to Florida and the rest of the band is from Florida.
He does it. Yeah. Very cool. Very, very cool.
So I have this pandemic question that I can't ask yet.
Why?
Well, because the question is, I came up with the question before the pandemic, but it fits it perfectly.
Okay. It's
if there was a apocalyptic event that took out most of the human race,
mm-hmm.
and there's a handful of humans left, and their job is to repopulate the Earth, which one of your songs would help with the repopulation? See?
Like none of them, because I don't write happy songs. It is impossible for me to write a happy song. Don't ever. I mean, I can write happy songs for other people. Like I'll write songs for other people that can be happy. I'll write love songs for other people, but like something for me personally to like actually sing and write for like my band, you're not going to get a happy song from me. So probably none of them, unfortunately. None. Zero.
If you could play with any band in the history of the world, like open for them, who would you want to open for? And if you could play in any location on the Earth, where would you want to play? And keep in mind, like Metallica has played at the South Pole, so it can be anywhere.
Right. You know what? I'd really like to go back to Germany. And German people, they love live music and they also love rock music, and they love like production type rock music. And you know, being that I'm classically trained and I'm gonna get pigeonholed with like Evanescence and the band I'm about to mention, Nightwish, somewhere in Germany, Austria, like over in that area. I can work on my German again and not be such a dumb American. And I won't have to worry about being like overly heavy to try to fit in with like super heavy metal guys. So yeah, win-win.
We're going to take a short break and we'll be back with Chelsea and some more questions. And for those of you that are watching live, this is normally where I tell you that we're going to play music that the guest has provided, but their EP isn't done yet. You said about six months?
Less than that. We're going to be in the studio in 2 months. And I'm thinking probably about 4 or 5 months, everything should be out.
Yeah. And you will be able to hear it here on Build the Scene, but just not yet.
Not quite yet. We're getting there.
I don't remember if I played Transcendence new song. We'll do that. We'll play Pangea by Transcendence. Oh, we'll play Carcass.
Hit the ground, we're all gonna die.
Stop me, I'm learn a lesson. Family taught me ethic and I grew to be relentless. Pressure builds more as the years go by. Only grow under pressure, I'm just waiting for the time. I feel like I come from a different dimension. Not like the rest, my mental is different. Feed off of hate and I thrive on rejection. Try and destroy me, that's only motivation. Cause all I need in this world is my family. For and with them, I'm aiming for victory. But even they see what hate is created. Humble man with a mind that has tainted. Can't deny that I love this mutation. Let off the monster and cause devastation. Burning like a noble since I hit the ignition. Stuff out the flame, it's not gonna happen.
We're back on the Pennsylvania Rock Show, episode number 573. You just heard Pangea by Transcendence, brand new song by them. And we also played a track from Carcass, K-A-R-K-I-Z-Z. That song is called Brace for Impact. And with me tonight is Chelsea Rittenour from The Fall of Me. It's weird for me to be interviewing you before the music is out. It happens occasionally.
Yeah.
I think that's why I can't get the band name to stick in my head yet.
Sure. I've been posting a couple of teasers here and there. I have a separate Instagram account, which is just Chelsea Vocals, where like you can find videos of me singing some of the original stuff that we've written, just like a cappella or with acoustic guitar, me and Paul. And then I put up covers, and then I also put up vocal tips, because you know, voice teacher, so like technique things. So like if you are really curious, you can hear some of our material. Just hop onto my Instagram, which is Chelsea Vocals.
A few episodes ago on Three Questions and a Song, I interviewed Judy Rodman. Are you familiar with her?
I'm not.
Neither was I, which is terrible, and I'm admitting this on the air now. She wrote and performed a number one country song in the 80s. Okay. And then she wrote another one, I think it was for Taylor Swift, which is recently. And ooh. I didn't know this until after I interviewed her.
What?
And she is currently a voice coach as well, which is why that popped into my head. And she actually gave me advice on how to keep my voice working well while I'm teaching.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I could also. So if you're ever curious, or like you feel like you're starting to lose your voice, message me. I got you.
Okay. So in the first segment, we kind of talked a little bit about Music Talks, and you mentioned that it has been canceled. But
yeah.
Why don't you? I mean, because it's still on YouTube, so people can go back and look at it.
Oh yeah.
In fact, I have already embedded one of the videos in the show notes. It is okay. The Blackridge episode.
Yes.
Why don't you give everybody an idea of what they're going to see when they click play on that? Like, what is the show about? What was its premise?
So, I was contacted by a guy named Rick Fike, who does all of the TV programming for Armstrong. It's now Armstrong Neighborhood Channel. And he had this idea for a TV show that would highlight local musicians. He wanted to do an interview And then he wanted to have them do a music segment. And he was like, but I have no idea how to put it together or what questions to ask. Like, I don't want to be the one doing the interviews. I'm not a musician, blah, blah, blah. So him and I didn't know each other prior to doing this show. And people kept mentioning my name to him because I was back in the area after being away for a good many years. And he messaged me. I thought it sounded interesting. We met up. He gave me his idea. I ran with it. I actually am the one that came up with a name. I had a list of like five names for him and he chose Music Talks, but that was one of my ideas for a name. And I just put this post out on social media, told people what we were doing, and it kind of just spread like wildfire from there. And we were packed for our first year. We had no idea what we were doing at first. I mean, our first episode, I don't think it came across as a shit show, but like inside we were like, oh my God, like, what do we do? Because we just, you know, it was the first one and we didn't know. Our first episode that we filmed was the Andy Davis Band, actually. I don't know if you're familiar with them. They're country guys. So
I'm not.
they're country. But I wouldn't. They're like, he'll probably be mad at me for saying this. I don't think he describes himself as outlaw country. I'm sorry, Andy, if you don't, but that's my like best like way to describe what they do. So
see, I could probably get into that. It's the modern country that I have no.
Yeah, role. I'm not into it. I'm not into it either. But like Andy does do, Andy does some cool stuff, and they're pretty prominent in the country scene around this area. So he was our first band. I know him personally from like back in the high school days. So that's how it happened. And we had no idea what we were doing, but like we made it happen. And then we were booked every week. We were filming on Wednesdays and we were booked every Wednesday for the first year, which was amazing. And then season two happened. I just put it back out on social media and people started getting in touch. We started getting Pittsburgh bands and it was just like, wow, this is really amazing. And then COVID, and it just screwed everything up. And I was dealing with an absolute mess of a schedule because I did all of the interviews, but I also did all of the scheduling. So like I was the point of contact. I pretty much handled everything about the show except for editing the what was filmed and the sound. But everything else I took care of. So I was dealing with an absolute mess. And then we were scheduling everything for season three and making it happen. And then, you know, Rick just had some other personal things that were going on and he was unable to make our film day work. And now I have kids, which I didn't have kids, you know, when we first started it, and things were just different. And for the time being, we couldn't figure out a day to make it work for myself, for Rick, and for our sound crew. And so, you know, he just decided that we're going to take maybe a hiatus or maybe it'll be done. I don't know. But we unfortunately are not filming any longer and I had to cancel the season.
I am not exactly that situation, but I told you off the air, I took a hiatus for a little while on this one.
Yeah.
Someday I'll go back and figure out what episode number I would be on if I didn't or not. off the air, I'll tell you what got me started back up, because I thought I was done, but
yeah,
that's not a story they need to hear again. all right. So you kind of left it open that there might be a future for it. So if it is to come back, how would you announce it? Like, what should people look for?
Well,
I haven't watched all the episodes, but I've watched quite a few of them.
Yeah, you know, I'm not really sure. My concern is that if I would try to bring it back and I would put anything out on social media, probably just on my Facebook page, and let people share it from there, it seemed to work for me that way before. But my fear is that because of, you know, me having to cancel in the middle of the season, is that you know, the artists just aren't going to trust us anymore to want to come on and do it, because what if we cancel again? What, you know? And so like, that's my fear with it. Like, I don't know. If it were to start back up and everything worked out perfectly, I would probably just make a post on Facebook and allow all my musician friends to share it with their musician friends and let it go from there.
Let's say that you decide you're going to do a solo album.
Okay.
And you have to pick a backing band.
Okay.
But the backing band has to be from the glam rock age. What band is going to back you?
Oh, the glam rock age. I have to be completely honest. That is like my least favorite era.
Okay, I'll change it. Grunge. What grunge band is going to back you up?
They're not from the actual grunge era.
I couldn't hear them. I have heard them heard someone in the back, like earlier in the show occasionally, but I didn't hear that one.
He goes, Seether, yo. And I was like, they're not from the, like, they're post grunge maybe, but they're not from like the actual grunge era. I had mentioned Alice in Chains earlier. I mean, I'm going to stick with them. I'm going to stick on that theme. Yeah. Yes.
So there's a podcast that I watch pretty religiously. It's called the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus. In fact, that's who's on my hat here.
I saw that. You were excited about that hat.
I was. I was trying to look for a way to bring that up. And you opened the door for me. Their episode this week that they recorded was about guitarists who you don't know have great voices. And Jerry Cantrell made the top 10.
Oh, there you go.
So if you guys aren't familiar with the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, metal is in there sometimes when you search it, but it's Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Check it out. It is Lou Lombardi, Lily V6, and Keith Hawkins are your hosts. Lou has played in quite a few local bands, including Super Monkey, which I'm finding out a lot of people have played in. And Lily V6 she hosts her own show on Rock Rage Radio. Keith Hawkins currently lives in New Orleans, but he is a Pittsburgh native. He is a pro drummer down there. So you get all kinds of different perspectives on whatever topic they're doing. And it's fun. I spend Tuesday nights watching that. Easy plug. Also, since we're doing plugs, in the chat room right now is Chris Thunderwood Wolf Dotson. His company, Wolf's Customs, sponsors the Build the Scene radio station. They do instrument resurfacing. They do painting. They do hollow flash. They are out of Illinois. You can check them out at wolfscustoms.info. Somewhere around here, and I don't know where they went, I have guitar picks that he sent me that have the hollow flash finish on them. It's really cool. Anyway, check them out, wolfscustoms.info. There, we got some advertising in. There are 8 other sponsors of the radio station. Go to buildascene.com/radio. You can listen to all unsigned music. Like 98% of it is Pittsburgh-based. And then the other 2%, we're growing now that we're in Europe. So the other 8 sponsors are listed over there. There's Noble Hops Band. There's 97.7 FM's The Grassroots Show. Wow, I'm completely blanking now. That's terrible.
It's one of those days.
DI Records or Shady Lady Productions. I'm going to make it up. I'm going to make a list for next episode and make sure I name them all. Anyway, all right. So I almost didn't ask you the Dave Grohl question. This is the last off-the-wall question. You definitely heard that one. I can even see you light up. So this question is based on the fact that I've been trying to get Dave Grohl to come on the show. And basically, I've been completely ignored by everyone, and including the email I sent to his management. They didn't even reply back and say, leave us alone. I've made the joke that Brian Johnson drove a van to his house and he came out and talked to him. So I tagged Brian Johnson on Facebook and said, how did you get him to answer you? You know, AC/DC singer, of course he's going to answer him. anyway, the question is very simple one. It's who's your Dave Grohl, which means what band would you want to leave the audience for and go up on stage and perform with? Because, you know, the Foo Fighters do that a lot.
Right. Oh, my. So what band would I leave the audience for and go perform with? Oh, man. I'm trying to think of, like, artists that I can sing well. You know what? I think they'd be a wild time. I think they'd be fun. I mean, like, I know they're older now, so maybe they're not as much fun. But I do enjoy singing her material. Because I learned a lot from singing her stuff. I feel like these are all like cliche artists that I'm bringing up. Everyone's just going to roll their eyes, but whatever. probably Hailstorm, because I feel like they'd be fun.
A lot of people have trouble with that question, and I get it. But what I'm really asking, and most of the questions that I've asked that are off the wall, kind of give me your influences.
They do. You're 100% right. It's very clever.
Hey, what is something that someone that has followed your music career would be surprised to learn about you?
I think the fact that I'm singing rock music now is a shock to people that have followed me from the beginning, you know, because I was always the opera girl. That's what it was. I was the girl with the pretty voice that could hit the stupid high notes. And, yeah, literally people like always called me the opera girl. I remember Taylor Jenkins, he's a local photographer. He's actually did my most recent photos for me. But back when Bar None was still open in Uniontown, he was hosting some art events there, and he had told Misty, the owner, that he was going to have me come sing for one of the art galleries. And she was like, what is she gonna sing, opera? And so it's like that's what everybody associates with me. So you know, if you don't know me personally and you don't know the music that I actually like, and you haven't heard me singing this material for honestly since I was a kid, you'd probably be kind of shocked by the stuff that I'm singing now and what I've been able to train into my voice as far as, like, you know, distortion and heavier singing goes.
Jonna and I have a similar issue. Everybody thinks First Angel Media is metal because those are the bands that tend to yep. contact her. And everyone sees me as rock and metal, which is part of the reason why we're doing the Friendly Fire, because we can play a vast, with XRP being any genre, that enables us to play any genre. Mm-hmm. And that's another story I'll tell you off the air. I don't want to burn bridges.
Amen.
So where can we follow your upcoming, like, what's coming up for you? Where are they going to be able to find your new EP? Where are they going to be able to hear The Fall of Me when it gets released?
Right. All the good stuff. Right. Okay. So as of right now, like, we do have, everything's being like, we're not trying to be super secretive about everything. We just want to have, all of our stuff in line and try to put as polished and as professional looking a product out there as we possibly can. You know, because being a new band, the thing that I've noticed with trying to, like, pump out original music is people are really reluctant to actually listen and share it and, you know, actually be supportive. Everyone says they are, but, like, you know, there's a small percentage of people outside of our music clique that truly are interested in new music. So we're trying to make this as polished as we absolutely can to really catch people's attention. So it's unintentionally been a secret, but anyways, back to your question. We do have a Facebook page. It's just not published yet. And well, you know, we're going to be working on a website, which I'll be in touch with you soon. I have rehearsal with the guys this Sunday, and they have the links to everything. So we're going to have a website page where we're going to post a lot of our music, let you hear like teasers. We'll have the Facebook page where we'll probably do the same thing, and you'll be able to see, you know, where we're going to be doing shows, et cetera. And then as far as the music is concerned, it's going to be on all of your normal music streaming platforms, you know, like the regulars of where you can go to find your material.
I was waiting for you to open that up with Spotify. For some reason, everybody says Spotify first.
I mean, I feel like we all know, like you know, the regular. So, like, yes, Spotify, iTunes, you know, all that good stuff. Yeah.
Coincidentally, most of those places you can also find the Pennsylvania Rock Show on as well, including iHeartMedia, which was really hard to get on. But anyway, so I feel like you probably don't have any shows lined up yet. So if you do, you can nod it out.
We potentially have one in October. Josh from Across the Dawn, are you familiar with them?
Yep.
He is trying to get a show together, and I give him, well, not since the pandemic, but before then, I would actually give him voice lessons. But he's been wanting to perform with me for a while. And I was actually with another group that was supposed to have a lot of material released, but, you know, COVID and all that, everything fell through. And so we've been trying to do a show together for a while, and he saw that I have this new group. So we may be joining his lineup in October, but that's not 100% set in stone.
So what we will do here, we're at the end, which means what you're going to hear very shortly is some more of the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer, and we will play Across the Dawn in that grouping.
Yeah.
And then you will hear Mr. John the American Hill Jack Lane tell you how you can subscribe and where you can leave comments and all that kind of stuff. And when you hear John, you'll know that is the end of episode number 573. But that doesn't mean that you should leave the radio stations that are graciously playing the show. You should listen to those stations and support the bands that you hear on there. And I always do a caveat with 107.1 FM and Mega Rock Radio, which are the same station. You're going to hear more signed bands than unsigned bands, but the unsigned bands are there. So now your job is, when this episode ends, you need to sit there and see if you can figure out which one's unsigned, because I bet you can't. Chelsea, I want to thank you for hanging out with us on the episode. I already said the number.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And for those of you that are checking in on us for the first time, this show airs on the every Friday. I almost said the first Friday. That's been a long time since it was just that. Every Friday, you can find us at buildascene.com. Our other podcast, Three Questions and a Song, is the 1st and 15th of the month. And then Friendly Fire that we mentioned earlier, which is live on xrpradio.co.uk, is usually the second Saturday at 3 p.m. But in July, it's going to be the third Saturday, because the second Saturday is my nephew's birthday, and I can't skip that. My name has been Bill. With me tonight was Chelsea from The Fall of Me. And we will catch you next week. Space.
This episode of the Pennsylvania Rock Show has ended, but be sure to subscribe to be introduced to more of the best on-sign rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. Don't forget to rate and review the show, and we'll see you on the next episode.